This is episode 4 of Celluloid Freaks. I'm Chris.
I'm Kat.
And we're going to do this episode in two parts. The first part will be a review and what Kat watched, because Kat has to go to do something important. What was it?
Play Call of Duty on Double XP weekend.
Oh, vast importance. I agree. If I actually had any Call of Duty games I probably would join that. But as you can see, she's got things to get to, so let's get right to it. Let's talk about our idiot brother. Kat, first impressions of our idiot brother.
You're going to hate me for this, but I would have rather have been out buying a vacuum cleaner than watching that movie.
Oh, no. Why didn't you like it?
I just didn't think it was that funny, I thought all the women were shrews, except for Rashida Jones' character, Ann Perkins there. Lesbian Ann Perkins.
Ann Perkins. And I don't think they were all shrews. I just think it happened to be that in the whole movie, Paul is really the only person who isn't kind of saddled with ulterior motives, so it just stands to reason that they'd all be, I guess, shrewish. I mean, you can't say that it's just the women who are all shrews, because, of course, the lesbian Ann Perkins, as you call her, isn't, and so is, and Steve Coogan's a jerk. So, I don't know, I didn't see it that way, and honestly, when you said it wasn't funny, I think the big mistake that this movie made, and maybe it wasn't this movie, maybe it was the people who marketed it, which, now that I say that out loud, it definitely was the people who marketed it. The problem is that it's not a comedy, and I think a lot of people went in expecting one.
I think they made him just a little too stupid.
Well, I don't think he was too stupid. I think he was just purely innocent and just so naive. It almost hurt how naive he was, but he had to be that way to set all these little inconveniences in motion. His not understanding that other people don't always say what they mean, and other people lie to one person, tell the truth to another, leads to a lot of difficulty with personal relations between family members outside of the family, and that's sort of the backbone of the movie. I just thought that Paul Rudd was perfectly stupid. I guess it's sort of a matter of personal taste between us, I suppose. What else didn't you appreciate or like about the movie?
I thought it was a little predictable. I didn't like the amount of infidelity either. That just got to be a little much.
We'd have a lot more to say if we agreed on the matters, but for now, and it seems like a lot of our issues are matters of personal taste, because I actually thought a lot of the movie, even though nobody was being honest with each other, I thought the movie was refreshingly honest to us, the audience, and that felt good, and I thought that Ned's optimism was so infectious and heartwarming. It just made me feel good. And maybe that's not a reason to say that a movie is a good movie, but overall I felt it was really good. I liked it the best out of all the new movies I've seen this year. I don't know. I it just felt good. It was a feel-good movie to me.
I was really detached, I guess, because I'm really a crier when it comes to dogs in movies. And this is close to the beginning where he's getting dropped off and his dog is looking out the window at him while he's being driven away. While the dog's being driven away. Normally that would have made me cry, and I just didn't.
When it comes to emotional connection, sometimes there's nothing that's describable in words that determines whether... Sometimes it's because, well, it's clearly manipulative or it doesn't go there, but sometimes what attaches you to the characters is not definable in words, and that's what the situation I have right now, because I can't define why I felt attached from the beginning. I just did. So I feel like as if we were to have an actual spar debate here, you'd have the higher ground on me, because the only thing I could say is, I don't know, man, I just liked it, you know?
Well, yeah, and I mean, I can't pinpoint other than kind of the shrewishness as to why I didn't really care for it. You know, I just couldn't connect with the characters. I was kind of like, oh, good Lord, I just wish a sniper would take you out sometime.
Well, I liked his family dynamic, and it, especially with his little nephew. And some of it was a bit, you know, predictable. He, you know, the kid likes karate, but is being forced into this or that, and Ned sort of goes against the parents. That kind of stuff, it happens everywhere, but I just like the way it went about things. And that's really... I feel ashamed as somebody who likes to talk about movies because I can't explain what it is that made me like it so much. But I liked it a lot, and I think...
I liked his dynamic with the kid, and that was one of our favorite parts, is actually when he uses the squirt box, or the juice box.
I forgot about that.
But I liked him interacting with the kid a lot. I could see that, and I did like seeing some of those changes. And but, like, his mother, the kid's mother, she's like, oh, we're not going to let him do karate and taekwondo because we don't want to enforce those morals, or we don't support those morals. It's a freaking sport. It's self-defense. It's not like they're going to enroll him in the junior NRA.
Well, yes, but, I mean, don't you... You come across a lot of children, and I'm sure... Occasionally, you have the misfortune of meeting some of their parents.
On occasion. Not as often as I would hope, but...
And on those occasions, there are a couple of parents where you just look at them and go, were you raised in a pod?
And oh,
they
yeah.
Do, they don't do things... They don't act nor... And I don't know. It seems to me that there are people like that out there. And... It's a bit stereotypical for movies like this to have the parents that are stifling the kids, etc., but it didn't feel unnatural to me. And it certainly it didn't endear me to their characters, that's for sure, but that was the point. But I do like how not everybody has to be likable. Some people do some mean things sometimes. It doesn't make them evil people. They're just... All they think about is themselves, and Ned is the only person in that movie who thinks about others before himself. I mean, he was clearly thinking about, wow, that poor police officer is definitely having a bad week. I should help him. And that's how he ends up.
In trouble, yeah.
Which leads to one of the greatest, one of the funniest scenes in the movie with when you were introduced to his parole officer who's speaking... And enunciating one word at a time.
Well, when I found out that you sold grass to a uniformed police officer, I figured you were retarded. Yeah.
It was a great line. I really like that parole officer. I wish he was in more of the movie. In fact, there's a lot of the supporting characters in the movie that just weren't in it enough, I think. I think the standout was definitely Rashida Jones, but she's the standout in everything. Anne Perkins.
Perkins. And then Ben was in there, too.
That is correct. Actually, you know, he was one of the greatest characters in that movie. And I think if Adam Scott didn't play him, it would just be kind of a role that was there, one-dimensional, says a few lines. But Adam Scott says a lot with his face. He's one of those actors that's very expressive.
Yeah.
Even with under... And doesn't do it with just exaggerated facial expressions or anything like that. You can just... He makes himself an easy read,
mm-hmm.
and that's just great. But I don't want to go on and on about a movie that we won't agree on, and B, I can't seem to articulate any thought without stuttering. So we'll just wrap this up. Plus, you want to get to Call of Duty, so I'm gonna give my rating for Our Idiot Brother, and that is 3.5 out of 4 stars. What are your final thoughts?
I'd give it like 1.5 out of 5.
Oh, balls. All right. Well, enough of that. Let's talk about, Kat, what did you watch this week other than Our Idiot Brother?
We saw Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 in IMAX 3D.
Ooh.
And then, yeah, and we watched The Warriors last night on DVD.
And which did you enjoy more?
Oh, both? I love both movies, and I mean, you can't really compare watching a movie you love at home on a DVD to the IMAX 3D experience of the very last Harry Potter movie.
She can. The format doesn't make the movie. The movie makes the movie. Come on.
I can't really say it. I don't... Maybe the Harry Potter, because I'm more emotionally involved, and there was crying. And then I told my boyfriend about that. He's like, you've seen it before. I'm like, yeah, but I still cried.
Well, if that's all, I will let you go back to Call of Duty, and we at Celluloid Freaks will return after this break. My brain got busted just the other day. They say, welcome back to Celluloid Freaks. I'm Chris.
I'm Matt.
And we are going to be talking about what we watched. First, I'll apologize for stuttering through the review of Our Idiot Brother, but let's move on. This week, I watched The Blues Brothers again, but I talked about it before on the show, at least I think I did, so no need to elaborate further, just to say that it's a great movie that everybody should watch. I watched The Big Lebowski again. That's another great movie. But for the first time ever, and some people will say, how could you not have watched this movie until now? Look, I can't have seen everything. But for the first time ever, I saw Almost Famous, which has already rocketed its way pretty high on my list of greatest movies ever. Didn't breach my top 10, but quite a great movie. Just astounding. Funny, Frances McDormand is amazing. And Billy Crudup is great. The kid who plays the Cameron Crowe avatar, I don't know his name, and I haven't seen him in anything else, but he's great. And it leads me to the question, what the hell happened to Kate Hudson?
I don't know. Same thing that Jennifer Aniston doing shitty romantic comedies.
Poor Kate Hudson.
I know.
Kate, if you're listening, I'm sorry. No, she's not fucking listening. But
hey, if you're listening, tell your mom I'm a big fan.
So, Matt, what did you watch this week?
I watched, for the first time ever, I watched Miller's Crossing, another Coen Brothers movie. Arguably, what some people would say their best movie. And for the first time in, God, like 20 years, I watched The Rocketeer.
Oh my God, I loved The Rocketeer when I saw it again 20 years ago.
Just as good as I remember it. Simple, to the point, you know, no BS. Good movie.
And it has Timothy Dalton in it, which you can't really go wrong there.
Yes, yes. Timothy Dalton playing a bad guy is, yeah, it's cinematic wonder.
And it's also, Timothy Dalton is another reason to watch the movie Hot Fuzz, which if you haven't guessed by the fact that I did an entire episode dedicated to Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz that I released as our episode zero, is one of my favorite movies of all time. Of course, if you haven't seen it, don't listen to the episode, because there are spoilers. Watch the movie.
Yes.
Timothy Dalton's great. So what else did you see, sir?
Well, I've also watched Wire. The HBO show The Wire, watched more Breaking Bad, and I watched the newest episodes of Doctor Who and Torchwood.
I don't watch any of those.
You suck.
The Doctor Who thing is not for a sense of avoiding it. I just could not get into it. I saw a TV movie once, and an episode or two with David Tennant, and I like David Tennant, but I didn't get into Doctor Who, so frickin' sue me.
Okay, all right. Fine.
But Torchwood is something I had thought of getting into. Breaking Bad is something I know I should get into, because everybody who watches it has been harping on it and telling me to watch it.
The best TV show I've ever seen, and definitely the best thing on TV right now.
Well, you people don't mince words, you Breaking Bad fans.
You
reminded me
of
people who were fans of weed 5 years ago.
Weeds?
Weeds, right.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen it.
it's really...
It's on my Netflix. I just ain't got around to watching it.
You know, it's... It's amusing, but overall, it's just awful.
It's about Nancy, mom of pot, right?
Yeah. Nancy, the character Nancy, but I really like staring at her. Whatever the hell the actress's name is, she was in Red. But she, her character Nancy, but she's just awful. And maybe I know maybe that's the point, but I just it's just really ridiculous. It's stupid. I hate weeds.
Sounds like a lighthearted version of Breaking Bad.
I could get into Breaking Bad, though. I love Bryan Cranston. I mean, since Malcolm in the Middle. And after I watched Malcolm in the Middle, like watching Saving Private Ryan one time, I'm like, ah, it's hell.
Yeah, he's good. I never thought I'd think of him as anything from the dad from Malcolm in the Middle, but
and
no.
Also don't forget Dr. Tim Watley from Seinfeld.
Oh yeah. Okay. Pardon me, I think Seinfeld is a tad overrated. Not as big a Seinfeld fan as some other people. But yeah, a lot of it was really fun. I didn't remember that now.
No, I do love Seinfeld, but it's one of those things where I'm not going to not go around and not understand why people don't like it. It's pretty clear why people wouldn't like it. But I like it. Well, it seems like we had a pretty fun week of movie watching, but that about wraps it up for us. I just wanted to give an announcement to any and all of our listeners out there. Two things. Number one, next week we are doing an episode on the original Star Wars trilogy. We will lovingly remember all those movies in their original forms. And then after we lovingly...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Were you doing the Star Wars theme?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we will lovingly pay tribute to Star Wars as it was in its original format, all three of the original trilogy, and then we will mourn its loss.
Yes, tomorrow, wear your best funeral attire.
All this in preparation for the upcoming Blu-ray release. And so we will talk about what great movies they were, and then talk about what they are.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go right, at, just sort of jump the gun and say that I will not be buying them on Blu-ray. I don't know. But that's all for next week. And I do want to announce that we're going to try something as a feature on Celluloid Freaks. It may fail. It may never even come as a feature. But we'll see. Based on responses, I want to get at least 10 responses with 10 different movies from 10 different people before we start doing it. The idea is, if you think you have a movie which you consider the best movie ever made or the worst movie ever made, just send us an email with the subject line best movie ever or worst movie ever. Give us the name of the movie and if, you know, and the year just in case there's another title with the same title. Granted, that's less likely to happen with movies named like The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. But, you know, if your movie is called Heist, I'll want to know what year it is, because there's a lot of freaking movies called Heist. So you send us the movie that you think that is the best ever or the worst ever, and a short explanation as to why you think that. We will all eventually get around to watching that movie, and we'll discuss whether we may have found the best movie ever made or may have found the worst movie ever made. And that's that. You can send your submissions to celluloidfreaks@gmail.com. That is just the word celluloidfreaks, no hyphen, no underscore, no nothing, @gmail.com. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. See you next week for Star Wars. Goodbye, everybody.